Good morning. Easter Sunday. If I had planned these topics a little bit better, we'd be talking about the nature of Jesus today. But we're talking about the nature of man. we're going to...
It's a stark contrast.
It is. It's a stark contrast. Just very quickly, I think everybody in the room at the moment has been with us for at least part of the series. But this is a 13... lesson series kind of focused on a personal journey. It's really about building your faith. It's about helping you answer the question, I believe blank because blank. And it's not really designed, as you have noticed, I'm sure, to be a full treatise on every topic and concept, because there's a lot of important stuff we're talking about. Each one could take weeks, years, to study and to understand. And so what we're really trying to do is help you think about these ideas. And these are the topics that we're going through. We have talked about the authority of scriptures. Last week we talked about who God is and what his nature was, is, and will always be. And then today we're going to talk a little bit about who is man. After man, we'll talk about sin, Satan, Jesus. Talk about why Jesus had to die. Which I think is a very interesting question. And we'll talk about the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about what comes after death. A little bit about grace. A little bit about the church. And then the last 2 weeks, because of just how things have worked out schedule-wise, you have the materials, but you're on your own for how believers should live and what God has promised us. Remembering what we're really trying to do here is just kind of focus on the scriptures, help the scriptures shed light on the topics for us so that we can understand the implications for our daily life. I frankly just completely, until this morning, forgot to make more copies of the user's guide. So I will make sure that happens after that. So I apologize for that. And then I want to remind you, too, that we put it in the little study guide there, this idea of memorizing Scripture and some hints for how to do that and even some recommendations for the Scriptures that you might want to think about. Okay? So let's have a quick word of prayer and we'll begin class this morning, please. Father, we thank you for the way that you take care of us. Father, we thank you for the way that you share your love with us. We thank you, God, for the way that you teach us. We're asking, Father, that you open our hearts to your teaching this morning on who we are and our relationship to you, what that means. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as I was reading and thinking about this week and last week's lesson, you know, one of the things that struck me was a quote that I came across that, you know, the Bible never tries to prove God. It just assumes God is. You know, it starts with, in the beginning, God. You know, and in the interactions with Moses, God says, I am who I am. You know, and so last week we took on a pretty big topic to think about who the nature of God, because God is everything. God has so many different elements and pieces and parts. Today is a little easier, actually, because we're going to talk about what's the nature of man. We're going to try to ask you about what kind of question, what you believe about man, where man came from, how is man different from God? We talked about who God was last week. We're going to talk about how is man similar to God. Is man similar to God? Really? Well, yeah, we'll find out. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what man's purpose is, and we'll talk a little bit this morning about man's fate. So today we talk about the nature of man. So, you know, as I was thinking through this, and again, I really like this book, and seriously, it's $5 online. You can download it. And he has a whole series of them. Know What You Believe by Paul Little. Know Why You Believe is another book by Paul Little. And they're very good, very focused topics. Discussions on the topics we're talking about. And as I was kind of reviewing some of his, you know, materials and thinking about that, one of the questions that he kind of asked is, so who is man? Are we animal, mineral? Are we just another animal that has evolved to a point to have an intellect and to have these capabilities we have today? Or are we just a mineral? I mean, are we just a collection of, if I remember correctly, it's something like 90 different minerals, you know, in our body. Is that what we are? How are we different than being an animal or a mineral? So let me just stop, and as I normally do with this class, ask you, so what do you believe man is? Man is sleepy this morning. No, seriously. What? What do you see? What do you think? Man is what? What do you believe? John? Okay. Okay, so John said a lot of things there, didn't he? He said we're created in God's image. He said that we are spirit, that we will return to spirit. We're going to talk about all of those things this morning. Thank you for that. Other thoughts just about who man is? Huh. So are we just an animal? I got one no. Let me ask it this way. Are we an animal? The technical answer to that is
yes.
Are we like every other animal?
No.
Some
people are. They're a spiritual animal.
We are a spiritual animal. Are there other spiritual animals? Oh, that could open a whole other question. And I don't really want to talk about the little dog. Because I know you think he's got a soul and all that kind of stuff. No, but seriously, are we just like any other animal out there? I mean, let's just talk physically for a moment. I must admit, when I study something like this and I look at people that have strong beliefs that there is an evolution and that we came from slime, you know, to be a human, there's a lot of holes in that, quite honestly. And if you haven't looked at the series that I know that Mickey's going through right now with the teens, right, the John Clayton tapes, he does an excellent job of helping just kind of open up some of the science, frankly. Around this, you remember that one thing that always strikes me. Remember the picture. I think it was Lifetime series had, you know, from a monkey all the way up to a man. All these different pieces, you know. And he does a great thing in his study where he shows you just exactly what evidence there is for each one of those. And for most of them, there's a tooth or jawbone. I mean, there's not a lot of evidence. Although, has man changed since? Yeah, man's changing. Man's, you know, it's an interesting idea, though. But how is, for me, this is the big issue with the idea of evolution. How is man different than every other animal? Now, scientists will tell you you get one thing that's different, right, than most, which is opposable thumbs, although monkeys, you know, have opposable thumbs. Anything else that's different about us? So let's start biologically. We walk on two legs. We have more grace. We have more abilities around certain things like that. John?
Man has a conscience. Other animals do not have a conscience.
Okay, so there's this idea of a conscience. That's a pretty good point.
Man kills because it doesn't bother. Man kills because it bothers.
Unless he has a really big rack and, you know. No, you're right. That was a joke about deer hunting. Did anybody think that? Yeah.
Animals live in the present. Man worries about the past and worries about the future.
Interesting. I mean, you could argue, I guess, that some animals put things away for a season, but they don't worry about where their kids are going to college and, you know, things like that, do they? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of things, right? And although there are some evidence of some form of language with some types of animals, I can remember Washu. Remember Washu the chimp, you know, that learned something like 96 different signs and could have some level of communication. Man communicates in a very different way, right? I'd like to say clearer way, but I just said different way. Sometimes it's just as confusing. Yeah. What other differences, other than just the biological differences?
Logical instinct. We make logical animals react and act instantly.
Hmm. So animals have instinct, okay? And we have logic, not just reaction. Okay, thank you.
Might sound kind of silly, but I think it's just your point. Man cares about being unclothed. I have a discussion with man about being naked. Animals lack the self-awareness to care.
Well, there's some.
Man. Yeah. Most humans desire. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that's an interesting point, isn't it? Actually. There's something different happened at that moment that man realized he was different. Yeah, yeah.
Humans are created to a much higher degree than animals.
Yes, yes. I mean, there are examples of some form of tool making and things like that, but, you know, I mean, again, I get, why haven't other species created, you know, reach the moon? Why haven't other species, you know, attempted to articulate and design and write out physics? I mean, there's just all kinds of interesting things that are just different.
Yeah, because they don't worry about the future. They're just concerned right now.
Fair enough. Fair enough. They've got a very present kind of mindset. You know, what am I going to eat right now and today? Yeah, Earl?
Man makes moral choices.
So we have the instinct. All right, good. You know, so as we think about these kind of questions, here were just a couple others that, you know, am I more than just a being created by chance? You know, it occurred to me as I was studying this that if I was a being just created by chance, then nothing matters. I mean, you know, why do I care about my education or about you know, there's no value in that. There's no values in that. You know, does the rest of my life matter? I mean, humans like to believe it does. I mean, it's terrible if certain animals die, but is it the same impact? I don't know, I was watching the news this morning and they had this big thing on pet funerals and pet, you know, and I appreciate the attachment, but it's different, isn't it? If your brother dies or if your pet dies. And a purpose in life, you know? I mean, do animals think about their purpose? I mean, other than purpose to kill that thing that I'm going to eat, you know, I mean, they don't have that kind of mindset, typically. Huh. And it does seem to have, just like the view I mentioned last week, that how we understand God has a big impact on what our worldview is, how we understand everything else. How we understand man has a big impact on everything else. You know, some folks got these two things upside down. They think man is the creator and the one with the intellect and the understanding and the, you know, all-knowing. And versus, as we studied last week, God is the one. And man has a lot of limitations, which we're going to talk more about as we go through some of these scriptures. So where do you believe man came from? The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It takes him a couple chapters and a couple days, but he gets to a very rich discussion of how he created man. Is that what you believe? It's not a very popular belief these days. It's a more popular belief to say, well, you know, we kind of evolved from this process to that to something else, and then all of a sudden we made this leap, and then all these extra things we were just talking about came true, and we have all these extra abilities and skills and knowledge. But God said in the beginning He created heavens and the earth, and then, as I say, which day is it that He creates man? Sixth day, right? He creates man. Okay? So is that where you believe He came from? Boy. What about the story of Adam? Was he a man, or is that just a story? You know, is that a convenient story, or is that an act? Was Adam an actual person? You say an actual person? And what evidence do you have for that? Did you meet him?
No.
No. Earl, you were old enough. Did you meet him? Now, you did meet Methuselah, though, right? What evidence do we have? Yeah, what do you think? He did. They had conversations, yeah? Yeah. I mean, some people, you know, because the word in Hebrew for Adam, you know, also carries the idea of mankind and, you know, those ideas. But even Jesus Himself said in Matthew 19, you know, have you read, He replied, at the beginning the Creator made them male and female. And He's talking about that, you know, very first thing. You know, it's interesting, even the generations, you know, up to following Adam, knew Adam, understood Adam, you know, talked of Adam. So, again, the question for you today is, do you believe that Adam was an actual man? Or is it just a great story, a good way to start a Bible story like this? Steve? I can see it start.
Yeah, there you go.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, why do you say that? It doesn't matter.
Because God presented us, this is how we are. And the key critical thing of it is God created. So as long as you say, is He an actual person? One single God in the Garden, He was the God who began it all, or is He representing all of mankind? The key critical factor is God created a single man for all of mankind. That's what it's about. God is the one who presents it to us and says, I created you. That's what you need to know.
Thank you, Steve. Ann?
I agree 100% with what Steve said. This whole story is too big for our finite mind to understand. And however God wants to explain it to me is fine with me. I think it's cool that there are some scientific studies that point to a single ancestor for all of us. And that you can find those quoted outside of people's faith. So it's
thank you. Heather?
I love it.
You need Chris's beard.
I struggle with this discussion on a personal level. And here's why. I wonder if there's some danger in coming to a place where I say, I'm okay if God kind of I wonder sometimes if it's dangerous for us to go there and say, this part of Scripture is presented as a straightforward account, but I'm going to choose to understand it as allegory. I wonder if there's danger in opening up that as a can of worms that allows us to then look at whole other parts of Scripture as not actual accounts, but instead simply allegory.
exactly why I'm teaching this class, right? Because you've got to come to your level of belief around it. You start to talk about Genesis as an allegory, or you start to talk about Revelation as an allegory, or that's what you've got to think through, right? I mean, that's what you've got to kind of be concerned about and to understand. So I appreciate both of those views. I mean, I've actually heard, well, maybe there are multiple Adams, you know, because it gets a little confusing about race and things like that, and how that comes. And maybe I don't know, and I'm not suggesting we're going to answer that question today. But what I'm asking you to think about is it has a big impact on what your faith statement is for you to think through that. I'll get to Earl eventually, but we'll go to David first.
Good question. People are writing. We obviously weren't there.
Well, except Earl, but go ahead. Yeah.
No matter what the discussion is, we weren't there. So there's ancient tablets that are written by the Samaritans. There is the History Channel, the ancient Alien Channel. So we've got the Sumerian tale that talks about Gilgamesh, and that you got the people that came from another race of creatives. I don't think the point is who is God? So is God an alien from another race that created us and made us in an image that we dug whole for them in the very beginning and they created us that way? Or was he the story of the Bible? So there's a lot of misinformation out there, and the devil says that he's going to do that too. He's going to make so much misinformation for us that we're going to lose our way. So I think that's the challenge as we get older, because we see more and more people trying to prove that we've come from this place, or we're starting, or all kinds of things. So no one can really sit down and say, this is it.
Yeah.
But when you go down and you look at like the microbiology level, you go all the way down, it's amazing how uniform it is. And they'll say, we're made from 50% of all this material. Well, that would make sense to me. Because, you know, they said, well, we're 99% of the material. But God used the same material to create everything. So certainly that would make sense that we'd be 50% of this, because we are the same material.
So, you see, the conversation we're having right now, I'm sorry, but they're not having this at the zoo at the moment. Right? I mean, the conversation we're having right now is working through and trying to understand this. Now, thankfully, we have God's scripture to extract from and to understand from. And that's what we're kind of focused on today. Earl, and then we move on to another topic.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to Heather's page. What other idea do we have that would be and we wrestle with God's stated idea? We have one authoritative source, that's creation. One, only one, that we as believers recognize. Why do I need another one? Would I be better? Would I feel better? Would I feel better if we made 1,000 men and 1,000 women to start with? Would that be easier? Is that more viable than one? Why do you need a choice for that? He answered what we need here, and you come up with nothing that.
Yeah, I don't believe, frankly, that what people were saying is let's conjecture. I think what people were saying is, so was it a 24-hour day? That's how we understand what a day was. Is that what God was using to describe that time frame? Those seven time frames? I don't know. That's the question we're saying. Because the word says day, does that mean it was in fact a 24-hour day? Well, it'd be interesting. It could be. I mean, the first few days would be interesting because there wasn't a sun or moon to kind of, you know, go through that process. But I don't think anybody is saying let's conjecture and come up with our own idea. I think what folks are saying is let's make sure we understand what God is saying. Because we have a lot of times where we make him in our image and our understanding, and we just need to make sure we're searching. I recognize we could talk about this forever, and I got three other hands. We're moving on. Okay, I'm sorry. This is one of those moments I've got to do that because we got a couple other things to talk about as we go through here. So let's start looking at a few of the specific scriptures. Okay? Let's look at a few of the specific, thank you. A few of the specific scriptures. Let's start with John, I'm sorry, let's start with Genesis 1, 26 to 28. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, right? So we'll learn a little bit more about who God says man is. And God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that he may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Okay, so what does this tell us about who man is, what his nature is? Lots of stuff in here. Give me one. Made in God's image. So what do you think that means? Made in God's image. I mean, do you think God is a guy with a gray beard and, you know, about 6 foot tall, receding hairline? Do you think that's what God... Is that what he means? We're talking about a physical... What do you mean? What do you mean? We're made in God's image. What do you think, Joe?
Well, you know, you've heard it said that that means in his mind. And it simply means made in his mind. But you haven't heard that before.
No, you're saying made in his image means God made us in his mind.
Okay. We all exist within the mind of God. But then, you know. That's one of the theories that has been.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Not to say it that way. I've heard that. It's a little bit to me like an old Twilight Zone, I remember. Everybody's moving around. Remember that? Everybody's moving around, and then all of a sudden they pull back, and it's some kids playing. You know, and it's kind of a weird.
But yeah, in the mind of God, okay, David. What do you think it means to be in His image?
Well, I think it's fascinating. Well, what was him like? In the very first of 26, this is something I struggle with. It says, "Let us make mankind in our image." So God is having a conversation with someone else. So this conversation is going on, and then if you follow through with this conversation, he says, God created man. But if there's a conversation going on, who is he talking to at this point in time? Because God is there, obviously someone's there, because why would you put this, let us make mankind in our image? That let us is plural for more than one.
Yeah, there's two or three things here, right? One of them is the us. That's a little bit of an interesting challenge for us to get ourselves through. We'll come back and talk more about us as we go along, all right? The other piece is, who's he talking to? Well, remember now, who's writing this, first of all?
Moses.
Moses, right? So, yeah, I don't know, as we were talking about with Scripture, exactly how Moses was inspired around this, but somehow God is communicating to Moses. Moses is writing this down. I don't know if he's talking to Moses. I don't know if he's talking to himself. Is he talking to us in terms of the readers of the Scripture? But there is a communication here, right? That God has made us in his image. No one yet has answered that question. What does it mean to be made in God's image? Ann? Bipedal, that's a very fancy librarian word that means 2 feet, okay?
But we have the other stuff. It seems to be that it's encompassing, but I've always thought the most important thing about it is the creative side. He's the creator and he gives us
So, going back to our conversation, to Anne's point, going back to our conversation of a few minutes ago about how are we different. Okay, so there's something about who God is that's something like who we are that sets us apart from everything else on the earth. Right? I got a couple of hands. See, and then we'll come to heaven.
A lot of people have focused on the phrase when he actually, the scripture of creating Adam, that he reasoned in the breath of life, which is a very interesting thing because when you look through the New Testament and the word there in the spiritual, it talks about God's spirit, that we have a spirit, whatever, this pneumo foundation word there is the same concept as this breathing breath of life. Adam, so a lot of people, they focus on that aspect of, say, the spirit. And that goes along with what Anne was saying as well. Sorry, this would be... that the difference between us and the animals becomes we have a spiritual part of us, our soul, in addition to our physical nature. So you do ask that question, is man, animal, mineral, spiritual? And the answer is yes. You knew. You did that on purpose. But that's what makes us different than the rest of the animals. We are animals. Is that we have that spiritual nature within us.
Okay.
So in a sense, I don't know that that's obvious, but I think it's certainly one of the points we can definitely point things to say, whenever we like God, we have a spiritual element now that will perpetuate. When this body's gone, the spiritual part of us continues on.
And it's clear in this account, isn't it, that man is separate, apart. It says something else here in the scripture about what man's responsible for. What's that? In charge, right? In charge of everything else that God has set up. I mean, I'm kind of glad he didn't give that to the lions or to something else. I'm not sure, how things might kind of worked out this way, but it is a different element, isn't it? That he gave us rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over every living creature that moves along the ground. So we are accountable for them. We can go into a whole philosophic conversation about that with today's world too, right? In terms of who has an accountability for whom, in this world. Have you had another comment?
Well, and you may have chosen this particular
version.
Translation. I didn't compare all the translations, but the NIV here, when it goes into that, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so the use of the language there, so that they may rule over the fish and the sea, have dominion over the animals, I think seems to indicate, seems to speak to all the things that people have been saying about the fact that we're made in God's image, being what is the main thing that sets us apart from the rest of this creation. He didn't say let us make live mammals in our image, or let us make the rocks and the mountains in our image, it was specifically mankind, in order to empower us to, or give us the ability to, rule over creation.
Says a lot about who he is too, doesn't it? Yes. Thank you for that. Mike?
And we are the second governors that he creates, because first he fashions the sun and the moon as governors of the skies and the seasons and that sort of thing. They do their job. They do it really well. They never stop doing it. And we fail. We are not living up.
Wow. Hadn't thought about it that way. Nice. Nice idea. Anything else you take out of this scripture? We got several to get through in a few minutes. We, huh? Let us make mankind in our image. Yeah, we'll have to come back to that. We will. All right, let's look at this one. What do we learn about man from 1 Peter 1:24? For all people are like grass. And all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever. What do we learn about man here? Yeah, so are we like God in this respect? Because we talked about last time how God is timeless and doesn't have, these boundaries on us. This says what?
By the way, do you know what the Bible says is the length of a man's life? Mankind's life?
Or any of the seven.
70. Or 120. Which place you're looking. But yeah, okay, so there's a timeline here, it sounds like. And we're like grass here. Interesting, right? You know, before, the last scripture says, we're like God. This one says, yeah, but you're also like grass. Every other created thing. Interesting, isn't it?
Anything else you get out of this one? What about the word of the Lord? That endures forever. God endures forever. His words endure forever. Can you say that about your words? I mean, depending on who I'm talking to, my words might not last 3-4 minutes in a lot of situations. You know what I mean?
They do last a long time, they're usually negative.
Yeah, well, that's true. And in this case, even with this recording, my words won't last forever. I'm going to make you sit by him in the future. You're right. Right? So the point I'm trying to make here is that there's part of man that is perishable. What we heard in the last scripture and others we will see, there's part of man that is imperishable. Thank you, Mickey. Excellent. Okay. Here's another one. This is from Acts 17. Again, remember, there are hundreds of scriptures that apply to this topic. I just chose 7. From one man he made all the nations. Who's the he here? God. And they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your poets have said, we are his offspring. What do you learn about man from this? I'll tell you something I never noticed before was this. You know, from one man he made all nations. Okay, that kind of refers back to what we were talking about earlier, you know, in terms of Abraham. I mean, well, that's also true, but from Adam, right? We have all of these, all man, and we inhabit the earth. And he marks out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. Well, wait a minute. I thought that was us. I thought we decided when we took over, you know, America and when people battle over this land or that land. Or what is this suggesting?
It's like being married.
You want to speak just a little louder into this? I got to tell you guys, when I make comments like that, I turn off the recorder before I say it.
Eric makes you clarify your statement.
Well, what is the point? The point being is that even things we think we may be in charge of as men, God's saying, yeah, I kind of laid that out for you. I kind of laid those pieces and parts out. What do you think?
Well, then it's so bad, we would seek him and find him. You know what I mean? It's not so that we can't... I'm not trying to do it. I'm just saying because we live in the United States. But it's not so that we can, you know, have the greatest, you know, and I'm sorry, but free country in the world, or so that we can, you know, have this great military battle or whatever. God will, we have the scripture... God will let us lose things so that we turn our hearts back to him.
Yep.
All these things happen so that we'll turn our hearts to him.
So when we start talking about man's purpose, you know, again, right before I left the house, there was a guy on there that was
He said he had, I think he said 36 honorary doctorates that have been given to him. He's a cancer researcher. I mean, an amazing purpose. He's the guy they were saying on television that really has turned AIDS from an epidemic to a manageable illness because some things that he's designed and developed. Remarkable man. Remarkable purpose. Is that his purpose in life? It's not. Now, he may be doing those things, he may be having those opportunities so that he and others, perhaps, can seek God. But that's what this and Heather was kind of clarifying for us here, is that this scripture helps us understand that all of these things are happening so that we seek God. So all of a sudden, we're a created being, we're in charge of certain things, but we're kind of like grass in some respects, and we're really about seeking something larger than us. It's another thing that's different about man. Man worships. Animals don't. Man recognizes there's something different and something beyond themselves. Well, let's say man should recognize that there's something beyond themselves. How about this one? Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Why in the world would I include something like that?
Some of you are thinking, typo.
No, I did it on purpose. What do you think? What does this tell us about man?
Easily persuaded.
Easily persuaded, right? Yeah. Can move toward deceit. We didn't see that in God, did we? In fact, remember God was light? And in him there was no darkness at all?
Beyond cure.
Need a Savior. Good. Thank you for that. Here's a couple others. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. I have used this scripture many times in classes that I've taught, and I've even said these things before, and people get look at me a little funny when I say, you know, we're talking here about the big S Spirit, right? The big God, God's gift to us. Part of what makes us like God is His Spirit. And that Spirit allows us here, it says, to understand things that other people just consider foolishness. Interesting. So there are some among us who have this Spirit and some who don't, according to this. Not the little spirit, we are spirit, but the big spirit, which we'll come back to and talk about more. Quickly?
I think it's interesting that you bring that verse out. That when you have a conversation with a person that's not a Christian, for instance, an atheist, things that seem logical to us seem illogical to atheists. Our point of view is 180 degrees different. The spirit that's talking and speaking to us, they can't discern our spirit.
That's right. And there's a lot to that. And when we come back and talk about the Spirit in a few weeks, we're going to get a chance to talk a lot about that. John, quickly.
When we seek Him out through His Word, okay, that's how we are learning that He exists. Okay?
Yep.
If a person does not seek Him through His Word, he's not going to believe Him because he's not searching for God's Word.
Yep. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God, right? Good point. Yep, good points. Thank you for that. Let's look at another quick scripture here. The one who sins is the one who will die. The child will not share the guilt of the parent, nor will the parent share the guilt of the child. The righteousness of the righteous will be accredited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them. Whoa. We opened up a whole new can of worms here about man, right? Here we're talking about what man does and how they do it and the implications of it, which is death. Back to Ruth's point, in need of a Savior. I'm going quickly because we have just a few minutes left. Romans 7 14 says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual,
sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. This is Paul's fairly famous statement, right? That man struggles with these things in terms of what's right and what's wrong. A couple other quick points I wanted you just to think about. You talked about these earlier. I appreciated these three characteristics that set man a little bit apart. Not a little bit, a lot apart from creation. One is self-consciousness. You know, we understand our consequences. Heather even used the term of they hid from sin, you know, or they hid from their nakedness. Capacity for intellectual reasoning is different. And then the moral and spiritual sense, which we talked about before. This is just kind of a quick summary. And Steve actually used this verse earlier too, in terms of man is formed from the dust of the ground and the breath of God. It's a fairly interesting idea to think about who God is. I mean, who man is. And then I wanted to get to the last one here. Yes, this was something that I found very, very interesting. The world talks about the ascent of man. The Bible talks about the descent of man. You think that? I'm going to ask you to think about that a little bit for next week. But, you know, man, the humans, the world talks about how man is ascending. And the Bible actually shows how man descended. Let's have a quick prayer. Father, thank you for a chance to be together and to think about who we are in relationship to you, God. We ask your blessings on this study. In Jesus' name, amen.